right. You are listening to the best of the all Struggle right. Is Real all podcast right. on all WMY.
All right. All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. All right. And then,
All right.
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 All right. All right. And then,
All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Now that you mentioned it, I notice me saying it like every time.
Should I redo that?
No, I liked it.
Okay, good.
All right.
Welcome to the Best of the Struggle is Real Buffalo podcast, a look back at the last year of our favorite music, guests, and segments.
Hey, this is Allison Pipitone. You are listening to The Struggle is Real, Buffalo Music Podcast on allwnyradio.com.
All right, we are back with Allison Pipitone. Allison, you said that you consider yourself a songwriter before anything else. What shape does a song take when it first appears to you? Like, is it is it a line? Is it a riff? Is it a chorus? Like, how does it come to you?
Well, there's two ways to write songs. One is just, it's like a job, and then you just sit down and you start playing your whatever instrument, and you just start, it's work, you know what I mean? And then if sometimes something will start to take shape, like you might get an idea or maybe a chord change or maybe a melody, that it can start there. The other kind is, which is a lot more rare, is like when you're inspired to write a song. And when that happens, I think a lot of times I'll just, something just comes to me. Like, I just start obsessing about, or like, usually words, but something, there's just a feeling inside you, like, all right, something is there. I got to sit down and see what it is and let it come out, right? Songwriting is not, most of the time it's not fun, right? Mm-hmm. Are you a songwriter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, what do you think about that? Like, can you explain yourself? How does that happen for you?
I usually hear it in my head. And then the first thing you do is you grab the guitar and you try and get it down. And I hear a lot in there. Like, I'll hear first the riff, and then I'll kind of think of what can go on top of that and what can go on top of
that. Okay. Music? So, you hear music or words first?
Music first, usually. Uh-huh. And then, you know, one of the things I've always told bands, because I used to produce, is that, you know, songwriting needs to be looked at. It needs to be practiced like an instrument. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to do it every day. Yeah. And even if you sit down for an hour and you don't get anything, you've practiced doing something better.
Right.
And that's how you improve. But for me, like, I just kind of hear it in my head and then try and translate onto a guitar. I have some trouble doing that sometimes. And then that kind of ends up being where I go from there.
Yeah, I'm also a songwriter.
He's more of a songwriter than I am.
I've written a lot of the songs we do in our group. And for me, it's definitely a mixture. A lot of times I'll pick up the guitar and it'll be nonsense words, mm-hmm. but there's a certain cadence and there's a certain uh-huh. mood and a certain, and not even like an emotional feeling, but just a sort of rhythm. So a lot of times I just like start there, you know, and I'll hear it. I'll hear just where the downbeat is. I'll hear where the space is between the melodic, where the melody is. So I'll usually start there. That's the one track. The other track is, I've got a line that I am convinced is clever, and I'm going to try to work something around it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes that works great. Sometimes that actually helps because the line itself has its own cadence and its own rhythm.
Yeah, so, that's cool, right?
Yeah. That's really nice to have that, because then you're at least, like, you know, somewhere along to actually having a song. Because
right.
you, at some point, you're going to, unless it's going to be la 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 la's, you're going to want some words in there.
Yeah, that's the craft part of it, right? That's mm-hmm. that's hard to do. I mean, it's fun. It's sort of fun. It's rewarding. But it's not easy, right?
Yeah.
At least for me, it's not.
No, it's really hard. And, you know, a lot of times I sort of like lapse into sort of imagist, you know, impressionist sort of things,
yeah.
you know?
It's
hard
like
to
that.
Write a cogent, you know, all the verses have a thematic relationship to the chorus and the bridge takes us somewhere else.
I've never done that. Like, I'm not good at doing that, so I leave it up to people to interpret it, and they find meaning in it. When I'm like, what does this mean? A lot of times I'm like, what the hell does this mean? I might have one idea that I'm trying to get to, but then it goes all sorts of different directions, and I really usually don't try to make it make sense. Do you know what I mean?
That's kind of the best stuff, though. You know, you leave... If it came out of you, it probably makes some degree of sense that you're not even aware of. I've had that experience a lot of times where I'll have a lyric and I'll just sort of be like, oh, that's not... And then, you know, days later, weeks later, like, oh, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that
yeah.
does... And people will, you know, point out that they like that one.
Yeah.
You got to leave room for other people to sort of exist and not close down possibilities. I think, like, Neil Young is a master at that. Like, I really... love the way he writes lyrics that give you just enough to sort of grab onto.
Yeah, leave enough under the iceberg, right? Like, not you don't have to try to say everything.
Mm-hmm.
Leave the space for the meaning to just come out. Like, that's how.
Yeah.
I prefer to write. You know, like, we both study literature, so like mm-hmm. there's two different schools of writing in America. Like in the 20th century, like the William Faulkner kind,
mm-hmm.
where everything is explained in tons of detail and. And then the Ernest Hemingway kind, where it's just you have to do the work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I prefer, for me, like more minimalist and image-driven writing, right?
Yeah.
I think that's my style. And when sometimes like that one we were talking about not going down, that was different because I mm-hmm. wanted to say a message. And sometimes when I you know how like you tend to write a certain way, so then... You run the risk of your songs all sounding too much alike.
Right.
So then I consciously set out to try and write something in a different way, either as an exercise or because I don't want to get into a rut, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I wish that you would keep writing protest songs because America needs them. And
yes.
Bob Dylan apparently has given up the job some time ago. Bob Dylan's not interested in it.
I've been trying to talk Dennis into it, but
come
slowly.
I've got one. I've got one concept. It's called What Master Wants, Master Gets. And originally, I wasn't sure. Like, it seemed like some sort of weird, like, kinky James Bond, like, thing.
Yes.
I wasn't sure what it was. But as it's evolved, I actually do have about 9 verses now.
Oh, good.
And it's all about, I guess, like, you know, greed in a person's personality in, like, all these different ways, like sexual greed, political greed, environmental greed, mm-hmm. and how we make these, you know, how we're, like, sort of king baby and what we want, we get, you know. It's sort of, and
yeah,
it's,
right.
a, it's a critique of that.
That's an American trait for sure,
Absolutely.
Isn't it? Generationally, it is. Like, our mm-hmm. generation is...
Yeah, very selfish.
I love the new generation. I think these young kids, these mm-hmm. what are they? The millennials, I love them.
Maybe I needed you to erase me. Wave your wand and replace me. And so I'll go some other way. Turn around, yeah, I'm not there. I loved your love. I craved your love. I cried for your love. I died 1,000 times. So I said, God, yes, to it all. And I found me a place to fall.
Hey folks, this is Ryan Gurnett from the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. I'm here with a special message today. Jazz is the worst kind of music. Now, whoa. I can hear everyone getting offended at once, which is easily my favorite sound, but that doesn't change the fact that jazz sucks, and I'm becoming increasingly certain that everyone secretly hates it. And yes, this includes you, you fedora-wearing bullshit artist. Why is every jazz ensemble fronted by a 900-year-old skeleton man with a name like Slybones McMurphy? I swear, it's the same guy in every band, just wandering from gig to gig for all eternity. I guess no one's got the heart to tell him he actually died 6 years ago and the funeral director would like him to lie down now. And who the hell thought it was a good idea to front a band with a flute being the lead instrument? I don't think that's what our forefathers would have wanted, and it underscores the fact that we've lost our way as a society. Now, maybe I'm being a little harsh here. It's just that I'm getting really sick of having to pretend that I get jazz, or risk being branded a mouth breather by the local hipster community. They say jazz is the thinking man's music. Why the hell should I have to think about music in order to enjoy it? Isn't it the artist's job to make me like their songs? The Ramones never asked me to meet them halfway. Come to think of it, the Ramones never asked me for anything. So I say props to them for handling their business. They should be an example to all of us. When I hear jazz, I find myself wondering, isn't there supposed to be melody in here somewhere? That strikes me as the last thought I should have when I'm listening to music, but jazz continues to be impenetrable to me. Similarly, I usually get the distinct impression that the drummer is playing a completely different song than the rest of the band, and that's just inconsiderate to everyone involved. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but have you ever tried to buy a jazz CD? It's not easy. They keep it in the nobody gives a fuck section of your local music store. You have to look really hard too, since this department won't be clearly labeled because nobody gives a fuck. When you do find them, it's 3 or 4 cracked CD cases covered in 15 years worth of dust and the fingerprints of people I assume died decades ago. You can rant on about how jazz is the superior form of music until you're blue in the face, but nothing you say is going to change the undeniable fact that this same store has a fresh shipment of Hall & Oates music coming in every week. So what the hell does that tell you? If you don't like jazz, then stand up and be counted. And if you do like jazz, then listen to this again and stop being a fucking liar.
Hi, this is Gabriel Wells from Dream Beaches, and you are listening to The Struggle is Real, Buffalo Music Podcast on all WNYRadio.com.
I own more half-read books than good. Plans and I have good friends.
published 10 days ago on allwnyradio.com. How did we get here?
Well, I went to see Lights, and I did not. When I heard Lights, I thought, this is a nice female singer-songwriter-y type. Be a fun concert.
Mm-hmm.
I went, and it was just a full-on pop con. And Lights put on an amazing performance.
Yeah.
She was like a Gwen Stefani with like this giant mound of red hair just dancing around, costume changes, video monitors. If I thought her music seemed compressed, which I do a little bit, mm-hmm. everything live had like 10 times more energy and just 10 times less polish. And that's what she needed.
Oh, wow.
It was great. She was one of the best performers I've seen in a while. It's a memorable show. And she made up for two terrible opening acts. Let me read from my review.
Yeah, why don't you give us the title of that review, first of all?
I did not title the review, to be honest. Scott Leffler writes those titles.
Oh, my goodness.
But it was...
Way to go, Scott.
Light's positive performance makes up for opening acts.
So, Lights, the band...
Yes.
Their positive performance makes up for the opening bands.
Yes.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, first was Toronto-based DCF. The rapper-singer was dressed like a reject from an off-off Broadway production of Hamilton and played a set of tepid pop music with no discernible properties. He performed solo with a laptop and a few small mixers he occasionally adjusted. He told some stories, none of them interesting, to a crowd that barely acknowledged his presence. The auto-tune on his vocals was so thick that he could have survived the evening without actually hitting a single note. I'm sure DCF is great for bar mitzvahs and high school dances, but his solo boy band routine was nothing more than an irritating waste of time this particular evening. And, just when I thought it couldn't get any worse, Chase Atlantic came on. Oh, there's a typo there that was never fixed. God damn it. Chase Atlantic came on a set of inoffensive bubblegum pop rock. While the band played their own instruments, vocal Mitchell's Cave's white Jodeci look, complete with white guy dreadlocks and an R. Kelly Bobby Brown jacket off the shoulder shrug, ruined the whole thing. The bass and drums were pretty tight and the guitarist played well, but it was all lost in the boom of the speakers. The songs felt like the same thing over and over, and I couldn't help but think the best way to describe Mitchell Cave is a clown. I was happy when it was over.
Wow. Well,
so this
generated a lot of backlash from fans on Twitter.
Yes. I have never had a reaction like this, and I've written some negative reviews. I can be very succinct and a little insensitive, I'll go with.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, this is the first time that something has exploded like this. So the first 2 to 3 hours, it was like, whoa, what's going on? And then the next like 48 hours were, this is really hilarious and absurd. And then after that, it's just been like, people still aren't over this yet? So I've started writing reviews 15 years ago. I didn't have Twitter. I'm not used to a forum in which I can write about a touring artist and have them see it. Like sometimes a local artist might see your review, but usually a band comes to town, they leave. There's a good chance they're not seeing the review you write.
Right.
This was very different.
Ryan's going to actually read some of these tweets. Some of these he probably hasn't seen before. And just sit back and listen to his retelling and reliving of that fateful review.
From Harlow, you can always tell a Buffalo music writer because they all sound just as negative as each other, playing mostly on the Mr. Goodbar stage for 20 years doesn't count. All right. Alicia writes, if you've been a musician for 20 years, how can you say these things? This isn't constructive criticism. This is just plain hating on people because it's not your style. And all the talk about their appearance. Weren't you there for the music? If you didn't like it, leave it. Can't believe I just wasted... Oh, sorry. This is from Dakota. Can't believe I just wasted my time reading this article. If you can't find room for constructive criticism, then why bother? Putting people down like that and making fun of their looks makes you sound like a major asshole. From Victoria. I'm a little moved here. I just have to slow down. I'm gonna try not to cry. I told myself I wouldn't. Honestly, you should be ashamed of yourself. You call yourself a music critic, but all you critiqued was the appearance of the opening bands and the 16-year-old party vibe. It's a concert. What the hell did you expect? please take this down. It's disrespectful and rude. It's We Go, by the way.
So talk about the Up We Go, by the way. What does that comment mean?
She has a song called Up We Go. I misrepresented it as On We Go. And to be honest, it's something I could have talked to Scott Leffler about fixing sometimes. There's usually a typo or two that falls through the cracks. But at this point, I'm kind of just doing it to be contrarian. But any idea that I'm not a good critic because I got two words wrong is pretty ridiculous. I had a friend compare it to, he's like, well, what would happen if you wrote a review about the Beatles and you said you really liked their song, Hey Jewel? And then I asked him why the hell he was comparing the Beatles to Chase Atlantic, and that ended the discussion. All right, this is from Becky Jones. Hey, Becky. I find it so disrespectful of you to sit there and say all those things. The support act that you decided to bash are the most hardworking guys I have ever had the privilege to come across. So one small-minded person's opinion doesn't mean shit. And we have Elliot, whose Twitter name is Chasing Bitches. Making sure we know that. This isn't even constructive criticism. This is just flat out being an asshole. Queen of the Boneyard says, this was trash, utter garbage. I'm not judging you on your reviewing skills and not your fucking looks, mate. This was just dot, dot, dot. I was crying in laughter. DCF had me in awe. Chase had me dancing. And Lights needs no comment. It's Up We Go, by the way.
Another one.
I believe there had to be at least 20 of them. And this is from Andrew II, parentheses, melodrama. This is garbage journalism. Ignoring the snobbiness, being a bully, do you have any idea how many basic facts you got wrong? And finally, from Amanda. This review is a joke. If you know so much about music, actually talk about that instead of insulting people you know nothing about on appearances. And Mitchell doesn't have white guy dreadlocks. Try again, bud. It's whatever that their music isn't for you, but don't be an ass about it. And I will concede a point here. They are not white guy dreadlocks. They're white guy braids.
Yeah, it's braids.
Which I believe is worse than white guy dreadlocks, but I'll have to consult the internet.
Dennis, you're awfully quiet over there.
Yeah, well, yeah. I just don't really find this very funny. I mean, it's cool, whatever.
Wait, what?
No, sure, they have a major label behind them. They come to town. It's easy to, pick on them. But Mitchell, Christian, and Clinton are still people. I think they're entitled to some respect. I don't know how they played that night, but if you actually listen to the music, they're, this is Chase Atlantic. They're actually pretty cool.
You know their names?
Dude, are you serious? You're messing with me.
No, I am proud to say that I am a Chase Atlantic fan. We call ourselves Chasers.
Oh my gosh.
Get out of here. No way. I offered you tickets to go review the show with me and you passed.
Yeah, I was busy and I was kind of nervous at seeing Mitchell so close, to be honest. But listen, I'm just saying the review, it really is shit. Their music is hardly bubblegum rock. They're blurring the line between a nocturnal aesthetic and primal bliss. And you would know that if you stopped fetishizing willfully obscure bullshit and cleaned Frank Zappa's jizz out of your ears.
You do not disrespect Frank Zappa in my house.
Get over here.
Guys,
that's my pedal foot. Guys. Stop it.
Bar cord finger.
You can't pull my hair when you don't have any.
Oh, yeah, unfair advantage. He's slippery. Right, he's greasy.
The broomstick knob doesn't go there.
This can't be happening.
All right, you know what?
Fuck this. Mix this shit by yourself. I'm done.
Will, I think he's really leaving.
I don't know, man. He's really freaked out there all of a sudden.
And the Descendants suck, and Ben Folds is almost definitely a racist.
Oh, he's coming back.
See you in practice.
All right, well, let's hear the interview from Rick's Record Shack.
Yeah, we better.
You're listening to the best of the Struggle Is Real podcast on all WNY.
We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Ryan Garnett from the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. Today, we are here with Tom Burtless from Humble Braggers. Thanks, Tom, for agreeing to this exclusive one-on-one interview with me. Sorry we had to meet in this back alley. Dennis gets jealous if I do interviews without him. Nate did some Band on the Street interviews a few episodes ago, and no one has seen him since. Is that okay?
And so I was like, all right, well, let's kind of give this a try.
Awesome. Now, I bet you get a lot of lady fans, Tom.
Oh, we have a very mixed bag fan base.
You're a very good-looking man, Tom. I bet you and the rest of the band do pretty well for yourselves.
We do okay.
Speaking of the ladies, tell me which one of these people you'd sleep with. Scarlett Johansson, Whoopi Goldberg, and the corpse of Estelle Getty.
All of them except for the first one.
You're into Whoopi Goldberg?
Always.
Alright, like, maybe we should change the subject here. Hey, Tom, what do you think of my face? Can I get women with this face?
It's nice.
Aw, thanks. Check this cool thing I can do out with my tongue.
It's a cool thing for sure.
Can you do it? Okay, I'm sorry, Tom. I'm making you uncomfortable again.
Yes.
Okay, let's shift topics. You must have made a lot of friends on the Buffalo music scene.
I have one friend.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom. I'll be your friend. How's that?
That's fine.
You know, you could sound more enthusiastic about it.
It's nice.
Those aren't the magic words I've always wanted to hear from you, but I'll take it.
Yes. It's nice.
It is nice. I'm really glad we're friends. Tom, it isn't unusual for friends to, is it odd for guys to give each other fitness tips?
There's definitely, a lot of more people are open to it.
Perfect. I've been told my arms are scrawny. Can you feel my muscles?
You know,
just between friends.
That's fine.
They're pretty tight, right?
Yeah, they felt great.
Well, thanks for taking a feel, bud. Do you want to make some plans for tonight?
Yes.
What do you want to do? Movies, mini golf, a trip to the carnival?
Me, in a bedroom, doing everything.
Okay, back to you in the studio. It looks like I've got my hands full.
You know, the rest is history.
This is Alec from Ghostpool, and you're listening to allwny.com.
They say there's something wrong with you. They say there's something you ought to do. Until I ate my gun, and now I'm drying out, laying around for fun.
I was gonna say, is like we'll. I hope being pregnant doesn't feel like that. They sent robots in. I got 3 incisions down on my left side. They sent a robot in.
We have so much material for that episode.
Okay. Is like we'll.
We have Norel, and then we also have a man of supreme mystery. Will Webb.
Supreme mystery?
I will let team. Will, what's the name of your team?
We'll be the Mall Willers.
Oh, I like that. All right. Your first question is, what is a way that you would remember a lyric or a riff?
Record it on your phone.
We're going to say record on your phone.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, we definitely have to put that sound effect in.
Okay, that's the number 2 answer on the board.
Have me saying it a little bit. Yeah.
Those of you at home can't see this.
Yeah, I'd probably need to remember that.
There's an actual board.
But there's an actual fretboard feud board with 7 blank
There's small
spaces. Oh, there are 7 answers, I should have
There
mentioned.
Are 7 answers on the board. Phone was number 2, worth 24
Thank you,
points.
Dennis.
24 people in Western New York answered phone.
I would also like to credit Crystal Fudalik for building the board and making these cool designs.
Yep, all right. Crystal.
You guys go again.
Okay, I'm going to say tattoo on your chest, memento style.
Oh, I'm sorry, Will Webb, you are wrong. An answer, but not in the top 7.
Wow, it was an answer.
I did
the survey, but that was not my answer. That's great, though.
I got some fantastic answers, let me tell you. All right, so that's 1 strike, so you guys can keep going. How would you remember a lyric or riff?
You don't.
You don't remember it.
No.
Show me, don't remember it. You gotta dramatize it. Come on.
Okay.
Okay, so you guys have...
Write it down in a notebook.
Will Webb? Wow. Number 1 answer!
Wow.
Damn.
Boo!
Ding, 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 really ding. Organized
you were
musicians.
Almost going
ding,
to.
Ding, ding, ding.
Almost going to clap for me, though.
I almost did.
All right, keep going, guys.
I don't know. Tiny scraps of paper that just get lost in your guitar case?
We're going to go with tiny scraps of paper that get lost in your guitar case.
I'll go number 6.
Judges, print out.
Okay. Oh. Print out.
We're doing good. We're doing good.
Wow. That person's very ambitious. They're typing and printing it out.
It's going into Microsoft Word and they're...
We get to go again though, right?
Yep, keep going.
How about continuously repeating them back to yourself and singing them?
Yes! Number 7 is repetition.
Oh, Will.
That is 4 people, so we still have answers 3, 4, and 5 on the board.
Jesus, we haven't even gotten on the board yet.
Yeah. We could steal. We could steal.
Yeah, they get 3 strikes.
Right.
So start thinking of an answer.
Yeah, I have been.
I've come up with nothing so far, so I hope you're thinking of something.
Come on, Dennis. You recommended this question.
I know. It's my question, but I don't have any answers to it.
How about recording on a cassette tape? Maybe it's not phone. It's a little old school.
Oh, no. 3 strikes.
Sorry.
We got a chance to steal.
All right, team scheme.
Okay.
To steal.
That was the one answer that
I
had.
Okay, so we can talk it over. We get 45 minutes to talk this over, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
45 minutes on the buzzer.
Cool. All right. Put that on the buzzer. Okay. So what do you think? They got notebook, they got phone printout. Then repeat the question again, please.
Name something you would do or use to remember a song lyric or riff.
What about play it for your bandmates or?
Yeah, I would say have someone else in the band remember.
Or what else? Let's talk. We got 43 minutes left.
Yeah.
We could play for the bandmates. They did repetition already.
I don't know how else you remember. I mean, you've got
recording it. Phone, but that's just a phone recording. Though.
I know, but he said cassette, which I was going to say shitty boombox.
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah, right. Like what I'm going to say, tape reel to reel or. Okay, we're going to go with play it for your bandmates.
Incorrect.
Oh.
So now looking at these answers, I realize that they're much more. I probably could have pared them down a little better.
Okay. So here we go. Number 3.
Recordings.
How is the phone not a subset of recordings?
And it's okay. Listen,
you're listening to recordings. 24
people versus 16. So.
How many people are recording it on something besides a tape?
Listen,
like, do people have like a full recording studio to remember their like?
Well, that's
well. Actually, our
that's
band.
I
does.
Am. Yeah. Well, I love you. This is a safe place. Please continue.
Yes.
Number four. Tantalus.
Okay.
Oh, we have to say it together once he reveals them. That's how it goes. And then number five.
Memory!
Which also could have been repetition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's okay.
Listen, game is right.
I think for a Struggle is Real
game. It's not
like
I've been working on this for 9 months or anything.
For a Struggle is Real podcast game, this is pretty awesome.
This is as elaborate as it's gotten so far.
I'm impressed.
This is Astrobula, and you're listening to allwny.com. Woo!
Chip on my shoulder from our time together. You got off scot-free, leaving me with a bill. If we're water under the bridge, then I'm drowning in you. This is the last time I ask you for your ear. Last time didn't seem to care enough to keep me honest. I barely know myself anymore. We met in parking lots where our clothes kept falling off. On pins and needles, I let our lips grow closer. This wasn't my intention, but off the record as we were, I could have died then, having lived forever. This is the last time I ask you for your ear. Last time you didn't seem to care enough to keep me honest. I barely know myself anymore. Bet I'm barking up the wrong tree, but I go out on a limb to see if you're okay without me. I bet I'm barking up the wrong tree, but I go out on a limb to see if you're okay without me. The silence is deafening. Way. I hope that haunts you every day. I'm glad you didn't stay.
rotating the board again. Do, 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 do. How did I rotate it like twice? That's magic. All right. So for this round, we'll go back and forth, and I'll add up the points. If Mr. Webb can hand me a pen, please. Do, 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 the pen. Okay. I will let Team Scheme go first. Because I think you probably actually did have more points. That's your advantage for having more points.
Look, I think we're just more intimidating people.
Inventing shit on the fly. All right, we have the top six answers on the board. Name a cover song that you never want to hear again.
Mm. Gotta be Freebird, right?
Yeah, Freebird. Nobody wants to go.
We're gonna say Freebird,
yeah,
Jim.
Freebird. Is Freebird on the board? Oh, absolutely.
What?
I can't believe
number,
it's on the bottom.
What?
You are gonna, you guys are gonna be surprised by these answers. Like, there's definitely some that I don't think are gonna be. You guys are gonna get.
I think Freebird's more the song that you're tired of people shouting at you.
Yeah.
To play.
Okay. Yeah. It's been a long time since I've
seen. That's a lame joke.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Team. What was your name again?
The Mallwillers.
Mallwillers.
Right.
All right, you guys are up.
So memorable. How did you not remember that?
It's not like I have a pen and a piece of paper.
So you're up. Name a song that you would never want to hear again.
Name a cover song that you don't want to hear again.
You don't want to hear again.
What's the last cover song I heard?
How about "Time of Your Life" by Green Day?
Ooh.
Oh.
So we have one strike for...
Oh, that's a good one.
Mustang Sally.
For the Mallwillers.
Mustang Sally is pretty good. It's either that or Soul Man. That one's been... That, or,
that's
Hold
Soul
On,
Man.
I'm Coming. I mean, those are great songs originally, but...
Sure.
Let's go with Mustang Sally.
Let's go with Mustang Sally. Mustang Sally, good answer.
When I talk about cover bands and make fun of them...
Good answer.
I always talk about Mustang Sally.
Ding!
Wow.
Number three. Baby, you've been...
So that is worth 20 points.
I am not seeing the right
you
bands.
You better slow your Mustang down. Or maybe you are, actually, if these aren't in your sphere of experience.
All right. Mallwillers.
So we're talking, just for some clarification, we're talking cover bands that strictly do covers, not just any band that'll do a random color. You're just... Is there any sort of?
Well, I think the wording was
just a cover song you don't want to
vague.
Hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're not really going to be able to figure this out.
Right.
So
no, there's some on the list that I think you'll still be able to get.
Dennis is shaking his head no.
Well, I mean, yeah.
There's definitely one that I don't even know what the song is.
Yeah.
Oh no. So no, you'll definitely get that one. Okay, meanwhile, we should probably be scheming, too.
I don't want to see a cover band. If I see a cover band, I just leave.
Talk on the mics at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
I think I should probably do it as well.
Okay, I think you're good.
Oh, but I would love that.
I'm just going to have these people.
And it's the wrong show.
We're going to go Stairway to Heaven.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good answer.
Bullshit.
I feel like this is what it feels like when I walk through Guitar Center.
I can never hear Stairway to Heaven enough. So I don't know. I don't know who took this poll.
All right, back to Team Scheme.
Oof. Okay. I used to call all these, or no, 97 Rock when I was like 13. Can you play Stairway to Heaven? So then my babysitter would let me stay up for another hour.
13 or last Tuesday.
All right. Listen, I listened to it the other day. Okay, so name, back to Team Scheme. We got to come up with a song. Boy.
There's the
Smoke on the Water?
Yeah.
So, we're going to say Smoke on the Water, Jim.
Oh. Sorry, no Smoke on the Water.
Good answer. Oh, too late.
All right.
This is a duel to the death now. This is going to go on forever.
No. I'm going to... When a team gets three strikes, I'm going to...
At midnight, it's a hard stop.
Yeah, yeah. It's like playing Risk.
Yeah, you can think of it.
Sure.
Like bad guitars. Okay, let's try "Enter Sandman" by Metallica.
Oh, Will, I wish you were right, but you are not. It is incorrect. I think that is the most overplayed song in the history of rock and roll. Team now, Scheme.
What about? I'm trying to think. Remember in The Wedding Singer where there was like songs that the guy did, like you know, that were extremely cliche mm-hmm. and overdone. Is there one of those that we can?
Shake your no. Nobody covers that. But now I'm thinking wedding songs.
Yeah, yeah. That's why the question is so vague. Whatever. What about, you know, because like old time rock and roll comes to mind. It's just a song that like you hear everywhere that I could definitely, you know, deal with not ever hearing again.
Iron Man by Sabbath.
That's like a classic trope that you learn the first song. Yeah. But again, with this question, we don't know what kind of field we're in. So let's say,
What's that Tears for Fears song that keeps getting covered all the time?
Everybody wants Mad to world? Rule the world.
Yeah. No.
Everybody wants to rule the world.
No, Mad World.
Mad
it's
World
from the end of Donnie Darko, if you remember.
Oh, actually, no, I don't remember.
Well, not the original version.
No, it's a total shot in the dark.
Yeah, I don't. That sounds a little obscure to me. What about a Beatle? Would anybody be horrible enough to have the Beatles on this list? No.
I hate it when people cover the Beatles.
Ugh.
The Beatles should be left alone.
Well, is it a band covering them, or is it just they don't want to hear somebody like play it, or like a radio play it, or what is it?
It's a cover song you never want to hear again. So smells it's not like something Teen you Spirit. Hear on the radio. Which, smells like Teen Spirit.
Smells like Teen Spirit.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
All right.
Good answer.
All right, Mo Willers, this is your last chance.
Oh, I thought
all
that right, was a good
we're gonna say "Take on Me" by Aha.
Oh, good answer. Good answer.
See the board.
Damn.
Sorry, that was a good answer, though. All right.
Either we were all bad contestants, or that was a bad question.
I think number one's obvious, but
let's start from the bottom.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Number five.
Now, don't say it, Ryan. We all say it together.
Wonderwall.
What do you think, Dennis? You're a Blur fan.
That's a good one. That's,
well, and an Oasis fan.
Okay, you guys can tell me what this song is.
That's actually a good one.
I have literally never heard of number two, which is
Wagon Wheel.
I don't think I know that song.
I literally
is that
wonder
the Journey
if,
song Wheel in the Sky.
No, that's Wheel in the Sky. I think some
wagon wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
I think I have a feeling that's in some cases people just kind of voted for their friend's stuff. So I'm wondering
I bet that's a slim chance in the Can't Hardly Playboys song.
It's a song by Darius Rucker of Hootie and the Blowfish fame.
Oh, wow.
I already know I don't want to hear that kind of his
country right. face?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, he's still doing that. Like,
oh,
that
is very successful.
That has never ended.
Wow. We just don't
he's
know any of that music.
Billions of dollars.
Number one song.
Number one.
Brown Eyed Girl.
Oh, I love Brown Eyed Girl.
To be fair, I used to love that song also, and then someone told me it was about butt stuff, and then every single lyric applies.
You're thinking of Brown Eye, comma Girl. Right. That's a totally different song.
I'm gonna think of that.
Yeah, now you're gonna think about it. Every single lyric. Just
hey,
hits
where
it.
Did we go? Days when the rains came. Oh, you know what the rains is. You know what the rains
down are.
Down
in the hollow.
Down in the hollow.
The hollow what?
Where the diarrhea comes Rain. Out.
All right, so Team Scheme wins.
Yeah.
No, we won?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm not questioning the math.
You won two rounds.
All right. He's just going best of three, I guess. I see something in an Amazon Prime box. I bet that whatever the prize is didn't actually get shipped in that box.
No,
all right, you guys.
The prize came from
each
the
win your very own copy. Of Space Jam.
Wow.
On DVD.
Oh my god, those are still sealed.
Dude,
that's
this
amazing.
This is legit awesome.
Wow. Thank you.
So, you're welcome.
Dude, I'm so touched. I'm not even going to ask you where the fuck you came up with two unsealed copies of Space Jam. Wonderful.
That's from our sponsor at. Who the fuck made this?
What is that?
You don't know what Space Jam is?
I know what it is, but why do you have two of them?
Warner Brothers. You have one of them.
Yes.
Yeah, like, Ryan's like, thanks to Warner Brothers.
Now I have zero of them. Yes. Yeah.
Just make sure you check out the website, which is still live and totally functional.
It looks like what you made in like 1996 with HTML. I mean, it is what someone made with HTML. Yeah. The fact that it still exists is amazing.
Awesome.
All right, well, thank you.
All right, well, thank you to Matt O'Norell for coming
on. Thank you.
We
appreciate it. The Band Lottery Showcase is June 2nd.
Yes, it is.
6 p.m., 7 p.m.?
Let's say 7 p.m.
At 7 p.m. at the Adam, what's his face?
Miskowitz.
Adam Mickiewicz Polish Library and Dramatic Circle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you can't,
AKA the Polish Library.
If you can't figure out how to spell that, just check out, is it sugarcity.org? Or
what's your website?
We'll have it in our show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Awesome.
All
right, cool.
Cool.
Facebook, you can Facebook. You can find the Queen City Music Ladder on Facebook. You can find Sugar City on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can find the Polish Library on Facebook. Everything's on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook.
Facebook. Oh, his name was, it was Colonel Indiana Longnuts.
Seven cats all humping each other at once. Hosted by Karina DeFabio and Hooter Jigaloos. Hosted by Karina DeFabio and Detective Baloney Jones.
By Homer Van Winkle. That'll be hosted by Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves.
Right.